net. This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to the Doctor's Inn. Yes, it's Tuesday, where you can get free friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast here to help you today with your personal problems. If you call me at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's show. Yep, Dr. Ray is out and about this week, so he's doing, I think he did yesterday and tomorrow, and I'll do Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. But we promise you somebody will be here every day as much as we can live to help you, our wonderful listeners, with your personal problems. The number is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Many of you know some of my background. I have a master's degree in health education, teaching certificates in theology, health, physical education, and science. I was the second oldest of nine children growing up, and I have five grown children now, and I've been married between 35 and 40 years. 40's coming up soon. The family I come from has had a lot of those same problems you've had, so I probably understand. If not, my cousins have had that problem, or my neighbor, or my friends, or maybe we have ourselves. So call me, and I'll offer any help that I can. Of course, I'll first pray for you and ask you to pray as well, because God does change things. But then I'll offer you some practical, free, friendly advice, just as if you're coming over for a cup of tea and said, oh, what am I going to do about this? Or you were stopping over across the fence, mowing the lawn, or saying hi in the driveway, like, oh, what would you do about this? That's the kind of advice I'll give you, free and friendly, from a Catholic perspective, though. 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's The Doctor Is In. I've been reading up a lot about this new field called neurotheology, science and God. And I can't say I endorse the books, but I'm just curious about this neurotheology. Andrew Newberg, he's the author of How God Changes Your Brain, and Why God Won't Go Away, and the Principles of Neurotheology. So I find this fascinating, having a background in science and theology, to think that there is even a new field called neurotheology. But what they're finding is good news for all of you wonderful, faithful listeners, and that's that Andrew Newberg, the founder of neurotheology, says religious beliefs and activities can have a profound impact on our mental and physical well-being by reduced stress, improving resistance to disease, enhancing memory and mental function, and helping us to lead longer lives. So this weekend when I was a lector and I read that first reading from the book of Sirach and then that long and wonderful gospel that still gave us enough information to carry us through for a long time. But the book of Sirach says, if you choose, you can keep the commandments and they will save you. If you trust in God, you too shall live. He set before you fire and water, to whichever you choose, stretch forth your hand. Before man are life and death, good and evil, whatever he chooses shall be given him. Immense is the wisdom of the Lord. He is mighty in power and all-seeing. The eyes of God are on those who fear him. He understands man's every deed. No one does he command to act unjustly. To none does he give license to sin. That was Sirach chapter 15, verse 15 to 20, which was the first reading this weekend. But this also leads me to thinking about how this ties in with the choices that we make, keeping the commandments, and that our religious practices actually help us physically, help our health, both in the adolescent health. I was reading about some studies about having happier marriage, about caregivers of the elderly. I'll start with the marriage one. In the Journal of Marriage and Family, it says couples who share religious beliefs, practices, and affiliations are happier than those with different or no religious orientation, according to a study of nearly 1,400 Americans between the ages of 18 and 59, conducted by the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia. Okay, this means, you young adults, when you call in and you ask, well, does it really make that much of a difference if we have the same faith? Or those of you whose biological clocks are ticking and you're ready to settle for less, or your hormones are raging and you're going to ask, like, is it really important to marry someone who shares my faith? Well, the answer now with a scientific study is yes. The happiest couples think, discuss, and practice their beliefs in the home rather than only attending church services. So that's even more than just going to church. Earlier research has identified three ways in which religion enhances marriages: by promoting ethical behavior and forgiveness, by providing a family-oriented social network, and by bringing a sense of meaning and purpose to life, which increases resilience to stress. So that was from the Journal of Marriage and Family. Okay, so now when you hear people say, oh, well, you know, I pray, I just don't need religion, they're hurting their health. Can you believe that? And they're not as happy. They're not going to have as happy of a marriage. So back to God knows exactly what he's doing. If you choose, you can keep the commandments and they will save you. I'll tell you the one about the caregivers. I thought that was interesting. Some of you that have been listening for a while know that I brought my dad into our home, took him out of assisted living and brought him here where he could get more help and more love, and he did pass away here. But so that's why this caregiver study intrigued me too. The American Journal of Geriatric Psychiatry said the benefits of prayer reduce stress among caregivers. Caring for a loved one with dementia and surviving their death are two of the most stressful events we can experience. At the University of Pittsburgh, researchers looked at the role of religion among more than 1,200 caregivers. They found that three aspects of faith reduced caregiver stress, improved mood, and fostered a brighter outlook. And these are the three things: attendance at religious services, private prayer or meditation, and strength of personal beliefs. And then for bereaved caregivers, frequently attending religious services have the greatest impact. So that's from the American Journal of Geriatric Psychiatry. So we've got marriages, we've got old people, and here's the one about the teenagers. How one of the health benefits proven by the scientific methods of prayer. Okay, protecting teens against drugs. The Psychology of Addictive Behaviors reported that teens who view religion as a meaningful part of their lives are half as likely to use drugs compared to non-religious teens. So parents, it does make a difference if your teenager goes to church or not, especially during stressful times such as having an unemployed parent. So concluded researchers at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, who studied 1,182 adolescents in grades 7 through 10. Again, reported by the Psychology of Addictive Behaviors. So three different studies here, and there are many more. Actually, I found 47 benefits of prayer and religious practices. It's not just in our head. And now there's a whole science, the neurotheology. I have to read that book, Principles of Neurotheology. It doesn't have a particular religious bent, but it does say he wrote a book before that, How God Changes Your Brain. So for those of us who have faith, we believe this anyway. For those that were skeptical and had some less faith, of course science is going to be on God's side. He created everything. Well, all the more reason to listen to Catholic radio and watch Catholic television. Which gets me to the promo, Mother Angelica's Live Classic tonight. I even want to watch this. Mother Angelica lends her valuable insight into the subject of conscience tonight. Why we have a conscience and what we do with it. So that's tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern on EWTN television. So now that we know that science and brains and prayer and all that goes together, what's more important than listening to Mother Angelica teach us about the subject of conscience tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern on EWTN TV. Tomorrow night, this is even excellent too, and it ties in with this, with prayer affecting your health. Father Mitch welcomes Father Joseph Aitona to talk about spiritual maternity, in which any woman can spiritually adopt a priest and pray for him. So all of you moms out there who wish you had a son who became a priest and he didn't, you can now adopt a priest and pray for him. That's tomorrow, 8 o'clock Eastern on EWTN television on Father Mitch. So tonight, Mother and Decla talks about the conscience. Tomorrow night, how to spiritually adopt a priest. So, and last but not least, our announcements today. EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network is heard on great stations like 88.3 FM Traverse City, Michigan, 103.1 FM Carroll, Iowa, and 690 AM New Orleans, Louisiana. I'd love to hear from all of you, Michigan, Iowa, Louisiana, and all of you wherever you are out in the country today. This is The Doctor Is In. This is Colleen Kelly-Mast here to help you today, trading some days this week with Dr. Ray. Give me a call with your question or personal problem. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. I'll be happy to help you, and we'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
At birth, you bring your children into the Catholic faith.
I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son.
You nurture their faith as they grow.
Prayer is about an encounter with a living God.
Unfortunately, many young adults lose their faith in a secular, anything-goes college culture. At Franciscan University of Steubenville, your child's college years will be a time to grow in the Catholic faith. With its 40 majors and vibrant Catholic culture, Franciscan University is academically challenging and passionately Catholic. Find out more at franciscan.edu.
The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly-Mast, here to help you today and Thursday and Friday. Did some trading this week. Always here, happy here, to be here to help you with your personal problems. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's show. We'll start today with Julie from Jacksonville, Florida. Welcome to the show. Julie, how can I help you today? Hello, Julie from Jacksonville. Okay, Julie, you maybe you muted your phone. We'll go to Sam from New York. Welcome to the show, Sam. Are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Good, Sam. How can I help you today?
Well, question for you. First and foremost, I certainly agree with everything that you just said, the power of prayer, the healing power of prayer, was certainly, and I think I'm learning that as I age even more, so we're on the same page there.
That's my wisdom, question, wisdom that comes with age.
I agree.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
I agree, that's exactly right. My issue is this, I suffer from stress and anxiety, and you know, to a level that I think that I'm finally coming to grips with it being, you know, serious enough to where it is kind of physically affected my world.
And, it does.
And I've been, you know, for years chasing a stomach issue and this and that, and I got a phenomenal doctor who has really done everything he can. And the last couple of years, he's basically made it very, very clear that with my best interest in mind, I have no doubt, and he's ironically a very Christian man, very deep in his faith, that I need to get on some medicine. That you know, we've really gone at this from all angles, and he's put me on some things over the course of time. I never stay on them. I think part of it is a little bit of the tough guy, and you just, you know, thinks you can, you don't need it.
Mm-hmm. Or your body's
also
just rejecting him, saying, "Oh, I don't need
that." Well, that, and I definitely don't love, and you know, I couldn't even tell. I know the last medication I was on, I don't know, and never big doses of anything, but something maybe just to take the edge off. And I know I've never been committed to the program when he put me on. But this last visit we had, I just kind of really did a little soul searching. And I thought, well, maybe he's right. Maybe I really do need to commit to, you know, having some med in me and my concerns about that are, you know, I just don't like taking that kind of medication. And B, I also don't like it. Always kind of the times I was on it made just very sluggish, you know, just kind of not my full. They seem to zap you a little bit of your alertness. And I'm got a very big career and a big family and blah, blah, blah. So any thoughts?
So you need your brains with you, Sam, right?
That's right.
Okay. You know, in today's day and age, there seem to be many, many healthy alternatives to what those particular medications might be. And I would talk to your doctor about that or get a what they call complementary, you know, alternative doctor that would propose something and then bring it to your medical doctor. Sometimes it is something as simple as homeopathy, which is just a very gentle, slow way to, you know, change the energy that's causing the anxiety that's making you have the stomach ache or whatever the, you know, particular problem might be, rather than just looking at the symptom and covering up the symptom. You might be able to find something that addresses the underlying cause. You'll also find sometimes that the, you know, just your ability to disperse your anxiety and stress through exercise. Does your doctor have you on an exercise program, or is he concerned about exercising now, Sam?
He does, and I'm pretty fairly diligent in that area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Because sometimes that, you know, just sweating it out helps changes our energy. You know, listen to some great music in your ears, and then make sure that you have that calm part of your life too. The meditation, praying the rosary, listen to Gregorian chant. Those things that I mentioned a few weeks ago, a study had shown that monks in the in a certain abbey, that when they had stopped doing Gregorian chant, their blood pressure all went off. So when we look at some of the things God provides for us, prayer, meditation, you know, exercise, physical activity, and some alternatives, if you really are anxious about the medicine, you know, talk to your doctor about that. Ask him if he's willing to experiment with that. You know, just say, are you willing to try something that you don't usually try and see what natural things could do that? And then maybe that underlying fear of the side effects, which I know are, you know, that it slows down your mind, because to calm down your nerves at the same time calms down everything, doesn't it, Sam? And if you need your brains with you, you need to be clear and sharp in your mind for what you do and for caring for your family, I'd go ahead and ask your doctor if he'd be willing to work with you. And a lot of doctors these days are, you know, more so than in the past. You know, they just thought, you know, whatever the drug company told me was the thing to do. But say, hey, you're willing to do an experiment of something that wouldn't have any funny side effects, and that would be natural, and see if he'll help you that. Maybe that'll calm your fears a little bit, but then follow his protocol for, you know, how much exercise or what kind of exercise, and then follow your church protocol for your, you know, meditation and calming yourself every, you know, morning and night as you say your prayers or, you know, read the gospel or do the rosary with your family. So look at the whole person of that, and if you can, if the doctor will help you in finding something that's an alternative, go for it. But if there is none, then, you know, if that's what's affecting your health, you have to do what you need to do to be the best you can be for your family, and that's what God wants.
That's good. I've actually kind of attempted, and over the years, this has kind of been a long time coming, and I've attempted to do some of the things that you're talking about, and it's I see the value in that.
Mm-hmm.
That's food for thought.
And never underestimate either, Sam, the power of prayer and healing. Yesterday after Mass, the priest said, oh, every Monday we have the sacrament of the sick. You know, and I thought, oh, my goodness, how nice is that? Every Monday after Mass, and it took 10 minutes. He anointed the people that went up there. But then, you know, when you think of something like stress and anxiety causing you physical illness, do not hesitate to go to God and pray every day for healing in that particular area. God can do anything. We know that. We know He answers prayers. And the sacrament of the sick just accentuates that even more. It multiplies all those prayers, adds the oil, the sign, the blessing of the priest. So consider the sacrament of the sick and really praying that God will relieve you of that stress and anxiety in whatever ways you and your doctor find most beneficial to you. Okay, God bless you, Sam. Okay, thanks for the call. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And Julie, that we couldn't hear before, had hung up. So call back, Julie. I hope the problem that we were going to discuss didn't manifest itself so greatly that there's problems in the house right now. But call back if you can. I'd be happy to chat with you. Our next caller is Danny from California. Welcome to the show, Danny. How can I help you today?
Good morning, Colleen. How are you?
Good, Danny. What's your question? Go ahead.
My question is, how do you make a son, eldest son, feel accepted when you tell him many a times that you accept him and you love him and you reassure him and affirm him in a lot of ways, and for some reason it always ends up being, well, you seem to be picking on me the most. Why? My son is the only one kind of doing things that I have to, you know, discipline him.
Mm-hmm.
The other little ones are not, you know, leaving the house without permission, you know. And you see, yeah, so I have to, and it's, how do I get that across a child's head that I accept you? And I mean, I don't understand why they can't.
Why can't he listen to what you say? Well, okay, Danny, I think what you're saying is, why can't your 14-year-old son hear those words that say you accept him and accept the discipline that goes along with it at the same time, when you do, as a father, need to stop him from doing things that are wrong? Is that kind of where we're going with that?
Yes.
Okay. So a couple things. I've had 4 out of 5 of my children are boys, so I've done this before, and I know a lot of boys and a lot of fathers of sons, and I work with preteens and teenagers often, and I'd say, why a 14-year-old boy wouldn't listen to those words is because 14-year-old boys don't listen to words as much as they do actions and activities and example. And what it's going to take for you, Danny, is to have a greater effect on your son and having him listen to you better are time and love. A 14-year-old boy has to feel that love, not hear the words of love. And by spending time with him doing very exciting boy things, challenging things, you know, high testosterone things, you know, I know dads that take their boys, well, you're in California, surfing or mountain climbing or, you know, running and things that are exciting for boys that change, kind of like even change the vibrations going on in your body. Because then his body's like, oh, no, here. So he's thinking, he's got these negative thoughts going on in his mind. He's not thinking like the resurrection, you know. He's hanging out there like Holy Saturday, like, oh, no, you know, God died yesterday. And so being a resurrection person, we have to do those things that bring us some more optimism, that keep us in touch with nature, that help us see God in good ways. If he does things, like I said, activity types of things that you can do together. Other things that can change his heart, like helping the poor together, or, you know, working at a soup kitchen together, or work doing labor, you know, outside, you know, raking leaves, doing yard work for someone else, like an elderly person in the neighborhood. Those types of active things that you would do together with him, not have him do it for you, but do it with him, that brings in some kind of energy. And I don't know how this all works. We will someday. But how this all works with guys working together. And I've often said that, you know, we need to pray together, play together, and work together. But there's something about a 14-year-old boy or a preteen boy and a teenage boy working together, sweating, grunting, or reaching a goal if it's, you know, like a running or a sporting kind of a thing, that creates a bond between them. And then they feel love even more. So time and love, both with your words. And then when you've tied those strings and done these bonding activities together as father and son, you can explain to him a little bit better why he needs to be disciplined. And maybe his behavior would improve just because. Hope that helps you. Thanks for the call. God bless you, Danny. We'll be back with more of The Doctor Is In right after this message.
The 17th Annual Holy Trinity Apostolate Lenten Symposium is Saturday, March 15th, and this year's theme is the Light of Faith. Keynote speaker Archbishop Timothy Broglio from the Archdiocese of Military Services in the United States will be the event's featured speaker.
The history of the Church teaches us that reform is only possible when it is based not on what they do, but what I do.
Other speakers include the Most Reverend Francis Reese, Auxiliary Bishop from Detroit, Monsignor Todd Lagenis, Rector of Sacred Heart Major Seminary, the very Reverend Miroslav Kroll, Sisters Mary James and M. Katerina, and Dick Thompson, President of the Thomas More Law Center. The symposium is March 15th at St. Cyril and Methodius on Ryan and 18 Mile in Sterling Heights. There's a youth symposium for ages 14 to 17 featuring Kansas City Chief linebacker Frank Zombo. For ticket information, go to HolyTrinityApostolate.com and register, or call Mary Ann at 586-731-3742.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
Jesus taught, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. He said these words to his disciples after their failure to cast out a demon, and he said that their failure was due to their little faith. Jesus' words are perplexing. We might think, surely I have at least a grain of faith, why am I not moving mountains? Another character on the scene admits, I believe, help my unbelief. Perhaps the first mountain we need to move is our own mountain of fear or unbelief. Let us join in this prayer that God may increase our faith and that we be ready and willing to use this precious gift of faith to spread and defend the good news. This message is brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
Welcome to The Doctor Is In. This is Colleen Kelly Mast here to help you, even though it's Tuesday, help you with your personal problems. Sitting in for Dr. A today. We've done some switches this week. He's out on a mission from God, I bet. Okay, Jerry from Omaha. Welcome to the show. Jerry, how can I help you today?
Hello. Thanks for taking my call, and you guys do a great job there. Listen to you all the time. Say, got a situation as parents, my wife and I, but I'm just here on the phone. We have a daughter, actually multiple, but we have a daughter, and she had a boyfriend. They dated 3.5 years during college, and it was a really good relationship. She realized that he was the, you know, soulmate, dream, man of her dreams, that type of thing. And was even, you know, visualizing the next steps and all that. Then she ended up graduating ahead of him. She went to a different college to do her master's. And so it was a long-distance relationship. And just around that time, he was real busy with school and ROTC and stuff. So he broke it off. Of course, she was devastated. Just kind of 3 months later, they tried to get back together, but for him, everybody from the outside and ourselves included, she just was not a priority for him. But yeah, we know he was busy with school and all that and everything, but seldom would call, et cetera. So anyway, so she tried to work at it a lot, and then eventually got mad and frustrated, was not feeling too good about the relationship. I'm almost done. Then like 6 months later, they tried to get back together. She worked at it. He didn't. But then he broke it off again, and some of the things he said were basically, something is just missing. Something intangible. So now he actually just got stationed in a foreign country, and he's been there like, 3 or 4 weeks, and now he contacted her. Hey, I made a huge mistake. Let's go back together.
Wow.
So as parents and also, a lot of people on the outside see that period, the 3.5 years was fantastic, but mm-hmm. that middle was, and so we're kind of, that's our question for you, and I'll be quiet and listen, and where do we go from here? Because, in her heart, she still has, is reflecting back to the great times, mm-hmm. but probably is, kind of brushing over the rough period in there, and it's not that we don't think she is for him. It's, we're concerned maybe that, is this really it this time, or is he just still meandering, trying to figure out where he's going?
Right, and then he's just lonely off in another country thinking, that's a tough one, not knowing him that well. But how well do you know him? When they were having their relationship in the long distance, did you get to know him at all, Jerry?
Yes, we know him for the first 3.5, of course. Mm-hmm. And everything was, fine then. Mm-hmm. But during the, start off as you just kind of say, well, we're busy, he's busy mm-hmm. or whatever. But eventually there was things that, he was doing, finding time to do other things. But yeah,
Right. He wasn't ready to make a commitment yet. How old are they, Jerry? Are they of marriageable age?
They're in the, 23, 24 type range.
Okay. I would say if this is still in her heart and there are no other serious reasons like, his family background, his values, drug use, faith, if there are no other basic things that are divisive between them and it's still in her heart, I'd say it probably is something worth rekindling again, as long as he's ready to, as long as he's serious about making the relationship work. It would be silly to go on and off and on and off and on and off, but seeing that they had a bad time and got through it, that's almost a plus to say that, because in marriage, how many bad times you have and you get through it and you go on, to say that she still has good feelings for him, he still admitted his mistake and wanted to go back with her. But the thing is, at this point in time, if you're 23 and 24, if he wants to get back together, they have to look at seriously, is this the person I want to marry? But not just boyfriend or girlfriend. And he has to start thinking about that as well. Is he prepared to be a husband, in a year or 2 years? Is he prepared to think about that? Or is he the kind of person afraid to make a commitment, and that's why he was dragging his feet? If he's dragging his feet because he's like, okay, I'm young, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, I got to figure this out. And now he's figured, okay, I'm staying, in the service, this is where I'm stationed, this is what I know I should be doing, and oh, now I see that I got my own life together, this piece is missing. Actually, that's what you wanted him to do, Jerry, get his own act together first. And then if he does seem to have a focus and a direction, and he seems to be doing what God wants him to do, and, training for the career he's meant to have, that's why he saw this missing piece. So I wouldn't necessarily see that as a flaw, but see it as a phase. And so if it's in his heart and her heart, and they're serious about it, and he's serious about looking at the possibility, do I want to, court this person? Do I want to consider, is this the person I want to marry? But if it's just that he wants a pen pal while he's away and he's not sure that marriage is on his radar screen, then it's time to move on now. And so if
right, that's hard for us to, that's where the rubber hits the road or whatever, is it's hard for us to know we know what she is thinking, but we don't know what he is actually thinking. And
she needs to find that out. That's going to be her that's her condition of getting back together. She needs to say, you know, I've cared about you all this time, and I'm so glad that you want to be with me, but I want to know now, is this on-again, off-again thing, or are you seriously thinking that I'm the person you want to be with the rest of your life? And I know that's a hard thing to say, but sometimes we have to address that and say, I am at an age where I'm ready to find the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. In your mid-20s is the time to do that. Say, if you are afraid of commitment for some reason and just want a pen pal, I'm not your girl. But if you're thinking that maybe we can make this last a lifetime, I could love you forever. And if he responds to that and runs like, no, I didn't mean that. I just wanted a pen pal because I was lonely out here, then she knows. But if he says, yeah, I think you're the one that you know, makes me all that I'm meant to be, and I think I can do that for you. And then she examines that relationship to see if it is something that he's ready to give all of himself to. It wouldn't even hurt to go through some of the things that engaged couples go to. I think we waste some of those marriage preparation courses on the people that are already planning their wedding. I think before someone even gets engaged, when they're looking to see, is this person right for me, some of those online marriage preparation courses and quizzes and personality tests, those things might be helpful to see, is this a person I should be engaged to? Do we have all this in common? So tell her to check it out more seriously, see how they are, see if he believes they have a future and is willing to commit to pursuing that possibility. I'm not saying, you know, marry me today or get me a ring tomorrow, but just say, is this what you're thinking? And if they're both thinking along those same lines, to pursue that and have a take a serious look at that, the possibility of that relationship forever. And if he just, as I said, wanted a pen pal because he was lonely, then it's time for her to move on to someone else. So hope that helps you make your decision, Jerry. God bless you, and pray. We all want our children to find the right person and be the right person and serve God with their whole life. We'll be back with more of The Doctor Is In after this message.
Know that we send constant messages out to the world all day long, even when we're not talking. In fact, you can communicate hundreds of messages to people throughout the day without a spoken word. We communicate with our facial expressions, the way we walk, the way we drive, even with what we wear, and how we comb our hair. Do you ever wonder why people react the way they do to you without even having spoken to them? Yes. Our appearance is a reflection of who we are. Some people like to call it artistic expression. But as children created in the image of God, we are a reflection of Him. We are an artistic expression of His. So the next time you look in the mirror, check to see if the image looking back is in fact an image of God. This has been a Christ-Centered Communication message. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, the Communication Evangelist.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, a fully licensed and internationally accredited alternative to traditional drug and alcohol treatment. This model has utilized the latest techniques based on the most current scientific research. More information about the St. Gregory Retreat Center is available at 888-778-5833. That's 888-778-5833.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Tupola.
Wow. Welcome to The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, here to help you today. You can learn more about my work and my speaking and my books, Sex, Respect, and Love and Life, and some of the keynote addresses I can bring to your organization, or preteen programs, or teen programs, or ladies' retreats, or parish staff retreats even. You can go to my website at sexrespect.com or respectincorporated.com and learn more about that. But for now, let's get to our questions. Let's see. Julie from Jacksonville, Florida. You're back, Julie. Thanks for calling back.
Hi. Oh, wonderful. Thank you for taking my phone call. I have a 13-year-old daughter. I got to preface this. I'm politely divorced for 12 years and have not, you know, dated seriously anyone. And she has a friend, and it's one of her girlfriends. And, you know, my inclination is that this one friend likes to be extremely close to her. And in certain situations, like almost holding hands, and I've said, "Are y'all holding hands?" Mm-hmm. And then this past incident was kind of rumbling and tumbling. Well, I opened up the door and they were on top of each other. So I have talked to my daughter about good touch, bad touch, personal boundaries with boys and with girls.
Yeah.
And she knows that, but I think that she is almost being taken advantage of, or I guess they're trying to develop themselves and have their approval from their friends. So I'm not quite sure how to handle this other than I've been praying, and I pray to St. Joseph to, you know, fill the void of, you know, the father figure, and we talk openly about my, you know, choice that I made as far as a husband and what you want to have as a husband, and help.
Yeah. So they're rolling around. Is it like wrestling? Are they getting pleasure from that? Are they fighting? Are they like 4-year-olds rolling around on the living room floor because they're immature? Like, what's going on when they're doing that?
Well, it's in the bedroom. Like this last instance was I opened up the door. And, you know, the one friend was on top of my daughter, and I just, you know, thank goodness, just said, awkward. And then it was, you know, well, she's going to, you know, make me ride a horse for her birthday or something, you know, something about that. So it's not, it's normally done not in front of me.
Okay,
the one time with the holding hands, we were watching a movie, and the other girl just kept trying to play with my daughter's hand. And I said at that point, you know, are y'all trying to hold hands? You know, just kind of kidding around, but, you know, getting the point across.
Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, and you're right. You need to educate them on personal space boundaries. You know, whether it is a boyfriend or a girlfriend, 13-year-olds shouldn't be having to touch each other like that in those ways, and particularly not to be rolling around on top of each other in bed. That's way out of the boundaries. Boundaries at that age, or for anyone really, you would use adult boundaries, you know, or that if, you know, she went and got a pedicure, she'd get a foot massage, and that's not a out of the boundary thing if you're helping someone feel better. A hand massage could help someone feel better. You're like, when you and your daughter are together, you know, you're feeling a moment of closeness, you might put your arm around each other, but that's an okay boundary in the family, but not okay boundary outside of the family. A boundary outside of the family is a short embrace, as if like you just saw each other and you're happy, you give people a hug, just the general that we learned from the Europeans, a hug, you know, where you can kiss someone on each cheek, you know, embrace them at the shoulders, and that is the limit of the boundary that are non-sexual boundaries for adolescents on up. But laying in bed together is a no-no. You know, rolling around on the floor together is a no-no. Even tickling past that age is a no-no. So if your daughter seems to have some other needs for affection, you know, just even when my boys were that age, they would, you know, if they were playing football or a sport, I would make it a point to, like, rub their neck and their shoulders or something like that, you know, with their shirts on, of course. But just so the only touch they got wasn't a sexual touch, that they weren't like, so when a girl did hold their hand or something, they weren't like, zing, zing, you know, this is the only feeling I've ever had. And so if we do need physical touch, you know, she needs to be hugged by her uncles, by her grandpa, you know, by her cousins. And so those are boundaries of affection within the family that are good and healthy, and we need that kind of touching. We also need exercise. We need, you know, good energy, good music, good vibrations, as the Beach Boys would say a long time ago. So dancing, you know, is a good thing. Taking ballet classes, exercise classes, those types of things that help her feel happy and move the energy in her body, those are all good physical types of things. But the ones that you mentioned are out of the boundaries of what should be normal adolescent friendship or normal outside of the family boundaries. Even if it was
a cousin,
I'd say no.
I need to, we need to have a talk about within the family boundaries and outside. And she is very active. She does play sports,
and
we have a horse. And
so those
things are...
she hugs her horse and rides on him.
Give the horse a big hug.
Exactly. Okay. So give her that love, that eye contact, that affection that she needs. And maybe the two of you should be trading, you know, pedicures and foot massages once a week or so, too. So she gets you know, that comfort, that relief. And then, again, grandpa, uncle, dad's other, the male touch that isn't just something she's craving for or missing because she doesn't have a dad in her life right now.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Julie. God bless you. This is The Doctor Is In. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Give us a call, and we'll be back to chat with you right after this message.
Hey, what's the rush?
My dad's in the hospital, and I have to figure out something for him when he comes home. Who can I trust? Who will take care of him? I feel so confused and overwhelmed.
You need a trustworthy home care company, John Paul Home Care. They've been around for over 7 years, and legally you can choose whoever you want. Tell them you want John Paul. I mean, the name says it all.
It sounds like my dad would be comfortable with them. Tell me more.
My parents love them. They're kind, compassionate, easy to talk to, and they have so many services. My mom sees a nurse, physical therapist, and a social worker. My dad is visited by a physical therapist and a speech therapist. They've really made a difference in the quality of my parents' lives. And unlike most companies, they bring out special machines such as anodyne and laser stimulation that helps reduce pain. I haven't seen my parents as happy in years. It's so comforting to see them live life without worrying about their health. And what's more, John Paul makes it a point to stay up to date with all the latest technology in healthcare.
The hospital didn't tell me about John Paul. I'm so happy I spoke to you. Since my family and I love Pope John Paul too, it will be easy to remember the name. This company is godsend.
Call them. Their number is 248-731-7457.
Thank you. God bless you. What's that number again?
248-731-7457.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in the community. You can subscribe or advertise today. Contact us at www.chaldeannews.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Personal problem, so give me a call, 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's show. And Robert, Shirley, and Faith, so sorry I had to hang up. Those were great questions. Well, maybe I want to finish with Rhonda either. One of you will call back, or maybe I can answer them out loud. Robert, Shirley, Faith. Robert, have trouble praying away my urges to do bad. That is... You know, a lot of us struggle with praying away our urges to do bad. But one analogy before I get to Rhonda is to think of this, Robert. If you're in Kentucky, you know what it's like to have a huge lawn, like a, you know, a bunch of beautiful grass in front of your house. And if you had torn out the lawn and all these weeds kept coming in, and you'd be trying to pull weeds. You'd be out there pulling weeds every day, wouldn't you? Get these weeds out, because it would just be dirt, and the weeds would plant themselves in there very easily. So instead, to kind of crowd out the weeds, you plant this beautiful lawn, and you feed and water that lawn so there isn't room for the weeds, and then you can just attack those weeds one at a time. Well, the same is with your virtues and your vices, or those urges to do bad. If you plant this beautiful lawn of virtues, of patience, of perseverance, of diligence, of kindness, of generosity, of honesty, and you're spending a lot of your time and effort and energy trying to be the most honest, holy, faithful, powerful, generous, helpful, kind, cheerful person to everybody else, your prayers to take away your bad urges will be answered, in that there isn't room for some of those evil things, because you're so concentrating on the positive of being more like Christ. So hope that helps you. Okay, Rhonda from Oregon. Welcome to the show, Rhonda. How can I help you today?
Well, I thought your callers might be interested. You had talked about mental health earlier.
Mm-hmm.
There's a product called Q96. It's in the United States. And then it's True Hope in Canada. Well, anyway, I think it's Q96 and Power Plus. And it's got all these... like Harvard University endorses it. They say it helps 19 out of 21 patients, 19 out of 22 patients.
Oh.
Anyway, it's pretty interesting. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's a natural supplement versus a medication that people should try before they go on medication. And it has, trying to think here,
what do people use it for? For, like, different brain, mental health issues?
Thank you for saying that. Now mm-hmm. I've got my focus back here.
Okay.
It actually, they say that most people with bipolar mm-hmm. or ADHD, those mm-hmm. things, they actually have a nutritional deficiency that mm. should be addressed before they go on to a heavy medication like Prozac or Ritalin or something of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that Harvard did an actual study. You can find it online. The studies that have been done are phenomenal. It's not like something that somebody...
I just looked it up. It just says Harvard University found Q96 to be 3 times more effective than the best mood disorder medication known. So...
Well, thank you.
I just was checking. As you were speaking, I'm like, I never heard of this before. But, you know...
It's kind of new to the United States.
Right. It says it came from Canada. And we can't believe everything on the Internet. But if you check with your doctor and see and ask... You know, a lot of times doctors know that what they're using that is drug-related does have a lot of side effects. And presenting that to them, you know, something like...
What impressed me about it was all the research paperwork that has been done and the reviews from psychiatrists and so forth.
Mm.
I think, it's the only supplement that's sold that you can be reimbursed for in Canada.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
They'll actually reimburse you for that particular one. So I was really impressed. And I thought, we started using it in our family. We all take it because it's a brain-enhanced nutrients for the brain, micronutrients for the brain. And my husband absolutely loves it. And he has dealt with depression and so forth. And he finds it helpful. In fact, my two boys won't take vitamins. And they won't tell me if it's working, but they keep taking this one. So,
okay. Hey, there's something to that. Then if your body's craving it, hopefully it's a good thing. Well, thanks for sharing
it's not
that with
that
us.
Everybody, it's good for everybody, just with the micronutrients for the brain, but they're finding that it is actually helping with, people that have bipolar or ADHD sometimes.
You're right, and there's so many people that struggle with brain issues right now, brain problems or mental health issues. So good to know. Check into that. Q96, glad it works for you. Thanks for sharing that, Rhonda.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good day.
Okay, God bless you. This is The Doctor Is In. Uh-oh, our last caller hung up, too. So I'll just try to answer some of those that did hang up. Faith, oh, my goodness. No, I'll go to Shirley. Shirley, because we talk about this often, try to figure out someone's personality, why they do what they do. And there are a couple books that I've often recommended about your temperament and personality. One's just from a secular perspective, one's from a Christian perspective, one's from a Catholic perspective. But it answers Shirley's exact question, why they do what they do. This one book is from a Christian perspective by Tim LaHaye called Why You Act the Way You Do. And it's a book about the temperaments, the four basic different temperaments and then the combinations of them. There's a book just from a regular secular psychology perspective that's by Florence Littauer called Personality Plus. And she has one called Personality Plus for Parents, Personality Plus for Couples. And then the Catholic book, that's the most recent, The Personality God Gave You by Lorraine Bennett, The Personality God Gave You. And all those will talk about the four basic personalities, the sanguine, the choleric, the phlegmatic, and the melancholic. I like to call them the doer, the watcher, the thinker, and the talker, because I've had all four of those temperaments in my family, you know, amongst my children. But it has to do with different traits. You can figure it out, and there are different personality tests you can get in any of those books, in The Personality God Gave You, in Personality Plus, or in Why You Act the Way That You Do. Or just look up the four temperaments personality quiz. You can even find one in the library, I'm sure, online. And usually a person will just list different traits, like are you optimistic, goal-oriented, self-confident, or are you pessimistic, introverted, you know, tease people a lot, you know, or are you, you know, like the behind the scenes, a deep thinker, very sensitive, you know, a little bit moody, but self-disciplined, you know, that'd be more the melancholic, or are you that sparky sanguine that's, you know, impulsive and, you know, restless, talkative, but the life of the party, a little bit undisciplined, a little bit emotional, but certainly optimistic and outgoing. So you can check out any of those, The Personality God Gave You, Personality Plus, or Why You Act the Way You Do, and learn more about why we act the way we do. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. I'm The Doctor Is In. Dr. Ray will be back tomorrow. I'll be back on Thursday, reminding you to be Christ to others.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. Building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Are you tired of the way your faith is represented in the mainstream media? Stop getting your Catholic news from secular sources and get it from a trusted local Catholic source instead. At the Michigan Catholic Newspaper, we're Catholic, and we cover your Catholic Church in a way that only Catholics could. For the same reason you listen to Ave Maria, get the Michigan Catholic for just $24 a year by calling 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
At times, our faith is challenged by the people around us, be it at work, at school, and even in our homes, and it can feel lonely to stand up and defend our faith. But Scripture shows we are not alone. Noah listened to and followed God's will in a society that had abandoned God. He stood up to the peer pressure of culture and was ultimately saved. Job remained faithful in the midst of tremendous personal loss and challenges from friends. His faithfulness was rewarded. Stephen was persecuted to death, yet he remained strong in faith, and as he was dying at the hands of his fellow Jews, he saw Jesus in heaven. When you feel alone in your faith, remember Noah, Job, Stephen, and other witnesses to the faith. Let us pray that we, too, may keep our faith steady and